on the everlasting arms. Leaning on the everlasting. What's that old? What was it? Sleeping on the premises or something? At least you're leaning on the. Standing on the promises and not sleeping on the premises. Now, I'm going to tell y'all, if I put you to, hey, I've learned this a long time ago. Whoever puts you to sleep has the right to wake you up. So if I put you to sleep, I get that on, Brother Chris? Is it on? All right. And, feel like all I've done this week's talk. I get tired of hearing myself. I bless y'all's heart. I'm sorry y'all got to hear me all the time. And my sister back here says, amen. Man, she's just laughing. She didn't say it. Anyway, I want y'all to pray for, Kathy and Rodney and Eddie and Mary. And they've such a great, I'm going to say a little bit about that tomorrow. They've been such a great testimony of how to take care of your family. And they really have. They've been an inspiration to me and to many. And let's pray for them. And I'll tell you, when you're in a place, when you're in a home, or you're in a place where someone's saved and they die, total difference than being in a room with someone that you're not sure of. There's such a peace. I believe God gives dying grace. And it's a precious thing to be around to see it. There's peace with the family. And by the way, the funerals are easy to preach. Because you have peace about it. And so I praise the Lord for Miss Nail. And I was honored. And of course, for many years, she's not been able to get out. But I guess for the first 5 years or so, we were here. They were faithful and at it. And great encouragement. And I have to tell y'all this. She was the most, just sweetest, most meekest lady. I mean, she just... the sweetest thing. And Brother Buddy, I'll never forget, I have to share this with some of you know, but many of you weren't here, but when and he come in, I admired him for it, but when I was voted in as pastor here, there was one no vote. There was one no vote, and I would have never known who that no vote was. I'm in my office one day, and Buddy Burgess walks in my office. He says, "Preacher, can I talk to you a minute?" I said, "Absolutely." He said, "Well," he said, "I just want you to know," he said, "I'm the one that voted no on you." I didn't know what to say. But hey, he and I loved each other. And here's what he said, but he said, "Now listen," he said, "you're the man that needed to be here." And he said, "I love you and your family." But he said, "I've just been wanting to come in here and tell you," he said, "I voted no against the pulpit committee." He said, "I didn't vote against you." He said, "I voted against the pulpit committee." And I said, "Well, I like a man that stands by his principles." Amen? And so the one no vote would have never been known, but he told me. And I appreciate it. It's like he was confessing. I said, "Brother, I understand." And so I've never forgotten that. And I love the Burgess family and Miss Kathy and Leston. And they've really been through it. So I want y'all to do your best as a church family to encourage them, and make sure you write them a note if you're not able to get by the funeral home. Send them a text, send them a message, write them a card. Do something to be a great encouragement to them, and I know that would be a blessing. Would you open your precious Bible tonight to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 12. Now, we've gotten through chapter 12. We've got to get to 31, and so probably going to be two more Wednesdays, tonight and one more Wednesday, and we'll get through this. We've been looking at these marriage expectations. What should our spouses expect from us as a spouse based on principles from the Word of God? Or you could apply this to, if you're trying to encourage somebody, maybe there's two courting. And by the way, you're going to have children. They'll be courting here before long. You say, "Well, I need wisdom and I need to be a blessing, a help to my family or my children." And these are some principles that you need to write down and you need to try to encourage and you be looking for and help your children to see some biblical qualities in people. So just a dual application. All of you, many of you are already married, so you're not looking for a life's mate. Amen? You done found them. Oh, my goodness. Let's try that one more time. You're not looking for a life's mate. You've already found them. All right. Now, but there's some here, and there's some that you're going to have influence with. They have not found their life's mate yet. And listen to me. I'm going to make this statement. I believe it is the second most important decision you'll make in your life. And the first one's getting saved. Second one, who you spend your life with, who you choose to marry. I truly believe that. And so if we're going to make this decision, we're going to be the spouse, and we're going to be counseling people that are going to get married, what do we tell them? What are some things that can give us guidance and wisdom and what to look for to help somebody look for and what's some things? By the way, there's red flags. Now, I'm not saying that just because there's red flags, it doesn't mean that's a done deal. But if there's red flags, you work on the red flags. See, here's what some people have this idea. They say what they're going to do is we know all these problems exist and we'll get married and we'll deal with them once we get married. Look at me. It don't work like that. Deal with them before. Work them out before. And then as God helps you, you know, life's going to happen. But so what to look for in a life's mate? And then what should we expect from our spouses? And what kind of spouses should we be? We're just taking principles out of the book of Proverbs. All right, Proverbs 12, here's what we're on. Verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. There it is. He that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Are y'all ready? Here it is. Here's the principle. You ought to be somebody, and if you're trying to counsel somebody, hey, maybe you see someone you love dating somebody or courting somebody, and that person is a know-it-all. Red flag. Red flag. Here it is. They should be willing to accept godly counsel. That is so important. For someone to accept godly counsel, the Bible says the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. In other words, I got it. Brother Henry said it tonight. I got it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to take care of it. I don't need the Lord. No, we need counsel. We need godly counsel. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. This is so important. This goes back to being teachable. Are we teachable? By the way, I've been in the ministry over 26 years. I hope I'm still teachable. I want to be teachable. And by the way, I seek godly counsel. I listen to people. I'm a fool. I've got great people in my life that I can go to and get wise counsel from. And I have a lot of preacher friends, and there's times we'll talk on the phone and I'll listen. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean I always do it, but at least if it's people that are in my life and they're godly, it gives me pause. I at least listen. So I'm teachable. I want you to be teachable. I need to be teachable. When I say I'm teachable, I'm desiring to be teachable. I've not always been teachable, but we ought to be teachable. I think of a young lady and a young man that's just starting out, and they think they know everything, but let's just be honest, they really don't know anything. But they think they do. So what we got to do, we got to try to help them. Well, if that young man or that young lady won't ever listen to anybody, that's a tough thing. They're going to learn the hard way, amen? But we ought to be able to accept godly counsel. Godly counsel. By the way, the Bible says that we should be thankful for the wounds of a friend. Iron sharpeneth iron. A wounds of a friend, man. I'm going to be honest with you. I've had family members wound me. They've said some tough things to me, but I'm thankful they've said it. And once I've gotten past my old stinking pride, I've been thankful for what they've said to me because they've kept me out of a lot of trouble. So we ought to be able to accept godly counsel. Now, people ought to understand why someone would give them counsel. I think this goes under. If someone is accepting godly counsel, y'all know how hard it is to give tough counsel to people. You know, y'all think about that. You got to bust through stuff if you tell people. Sometimes you got to tell people what they don't want to hear. And that ain't easy to do. That's why most people won't do it. You know why? Because we're afraid they're going to get mad at us. They're going to fly off the handle at us, and they'll say, but let me just say this. Let's look at it this way. I think someone that's wise realizes if someone does that, says something tough to them, and has to bust through that, the person that's being counseled ought to say, you know what? I'm thankful that my friend, or I'm thankful that my family member loves me enough to push through maybe even getting hurt or being rejected by me, but yet they love me enough, they still want to tell me. I want y'all to think about that. That's powerful stuff. When we get to that, you know what a really good day is? When teenagers and children realize, because it was just like one day it finally clicked for me. I was an adult before I figured it out. I'm like, you know what? My parents ain't mean after all. I finally figured it out. They really do love me. They've tried to help me. I just didn't understand their counsel. And more importantly than didn't understand their counsel is to me, I didn't want their counsel. But boy, as the older you get, you realize, man, when people stick their neck out to help you and to give you counsel, and even if it's hard to give, they are only doing it because they love you. How many of y'all agree with that? I do too. And a wise person realizes that. They don't just think, wow, that person's just getting up in my business. Well, maybe they are. But that ought not be their motive. Their motive, they ought to tell you something if you need to hear it because they love you. Amen? And so we ought to be able to accept God's godly counsel. And by the way, I would get godly counsel. In the multitude of counselors, it's safe. And by the way, we got some good people here that are good godly people that can give some wonderful counsel. And of course, we're always around as well. Accept godly counsel. Hey, here's another one. Has right companions. Look at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. Look what the Bible says here. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now, think about this. Influence is so important. Influence is so important. I know maybe some would say we're old-fashioned, and maybe so, but we were very careful who our children hung around with. We were very careful. I wanted to know who they were, what they thought. I wanted to know things about them before I let them into my inner core, and sometimes that means maybe they think you're getting a little nosy, but why? Because, man, the friend's influence of your children are important. Same with us. Influence is so important. And let me say this about the folks that we hang around with. Normally we hang around the people that are like us. I was so encouraged the other day. Brother Doug come up to me after church, and he said, "Now, Pastor, after we have the baby and we get settled in and everything," he said, "I really would like to work with you and let's get an activity up for our Sunday school class." And I was like, "Yeah." I said, "We want to." I said, "We'll work on it." He gave me a couple of thoughts and I said, "Well, any of those are good." I said, "We'll work on them." And here's what he said to me. I loved what he said. He said, "Because, Pastor, I want our closest friends to be in church, in our church family." I loved that. That encouraged me. And that's the way it ought to be. You know why? Because look, we're all different. We all have different preferences. But here's the thing. If we're in church and we all know the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, He's our common denominator. Now, everybody here has different likes. How many of y'all drove in here in a Chevy? Y'all drove in a Chevy? Y'all raise your hand. Y'all come in here tonight with a Chevy? How many of you come in here in a Ford? All right, now don't y'all get to fighting tonight. All right, I came in here on a Nissan. Some of you, by the way, I can tell, how many of you rode something in? Amen? All right. Well, everybody has different tastes. So someone said, "Well, I tell you right now, under that church, I can't get along with so-and-so because he's a Ford man and I'm a Chevy man." Well, that's silly. The thing that binds us together, man, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the same goals. We have the same views of life, and we have the same morals, and we have the same, you know, outlook on life. We ought to have a biblical view. And man, I love going to even a restaurant with a group of our folks because, man, when we all go and maybe we all take a big spot there, I'm thankful there's a group of people that's going to see people pray before they eat. They're going to hear funny, wholesome conversations if they were able to listen. And there's nothing, I'm not scared at all hanging around with church people. How about y'all? And so, right companions. And let me just say this, the Bible also says that we should not be unequally yoked. So that's one of the principles. If our sons or daughters, or if someone was looking to get married and someone was unequally yoked, and some people have the idea, well, that means that one person's saved and one person's lost. Well, it certainly means that. You ought to be careful marrying someone lost. But I believe it means more than that, unequally yoked in a lot of things. But what I'm trying to say is, let's say, all right, well, Pastor, we got married unequally yoked, all right, but once you're married, here's what's a blessing. God can work all that out. God, I've seen God work all that out, amen? I've seen people get married to somebody lost, and Jesus has saved them. But practicing, if I'm going to sit there and counsel with my children, the first question I asked my children when they started to talk to somebody or they were going to start courting somebody, which I've never liked. Ain't that awful? See, one of them done went and courted, they done stole my daughter. Y'all ain't even laughing. But the first thing I ask is, are they saved? And then I go a step, do they go to church? Do they attend church? Do they love the Lord? Man, that's huge. Would y'all agree? And so our friends and our companions, we ought to have the right kind of companions. We ought to have the right kind of friends. So I believe the Bible says, he that walketh with wise men, you're going to be wise. Brother Chris, you want to be wise? Then hang around with some wise men. Amen. Hey, if you want to be a fool, you can find a bunch of them out there. But none of us want to be a fool. Let's hang around with wise people so they have the right companions. Number three, here it is. Let's keep going. Chapter 14. I'm just pulling one or two out of each chapter. Verse 14. Chapter 14, verse 17. Here it is. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. Now here's one that all of us would have to say, oh my, oh me. Controls their anger. Controls their anger. I preached a message during Home Improvement Month, anger, the hidden enemy of every home. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't get a handle on your anger, and by the way, you can see little pop shots of this. Let's say a young person, you can see this. You can see this. If you've got an eye for it, you can see if someone's got an anger issue. And by the way, better watch that, especially if you have a daughter. If you have a daughter and she's dating an old boy or courting an old boy and he's got an anger issue, listen to me, it wouldn't take long for him to take it out on her. So we ought to control our anger. All of us, and by the way, all of us have besetting sins. All of us have weaknesses. All of us have strengths. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Anger and temper, controlling their temper, is something that we have to let the Lord help us to do. We've got to yield to the Lord and ask him to help us to control our temper. Notice what the Bible says. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. Do you know how many people are sitting in jail cells tonight because they got so angry in a few moments and did something they never dreamed they would do because they did not control their anger. So controls their temper. Now here's another one. And I thought all of these right here in chapter 14, 15, and 16 all have to do with mouth, the mouth, or our attitudes. Notice Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. Boy, this is one that'll help a marriage. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Now, I'm going to give you all a good test how to try this. It'll work every time. It'll work every time. Now, if somebody's angry, let's say couple of you getting upset. Let's say you go home and somebody's a little, let's just say you be like me sometimes. Now, it's been a while since I've been like this, but I've gotten frustrated and aggravated just because I've had to deal with a bunch of stuff. So I'll go home and I'm still jacked up. And my wife knows me well enough and I'm just frustrated and she'll say to me, no, honey, I just want you to know something. She said, you ain't gonna fight with me today. She said, I don't know why you're frustrated and aggravated, but she said, you're home now, and you don't have to be like that. You can calm down. But let's just say I didn't calm down. Let's just say that I was frustrated and aggravated, and I was just using grievous words. Well, you know what would stop me dead in my tracks? And by the way, she's done this many times. Because here's what the Bible says, but if you use grievous words, you stir it up. But a soft answer, how in the world can you stay aggravated when someone's mad and using tough, strong language, and the spouse looks at him and say, honey, I love you. I love you, baby. Well, I'll tell you right now, I'm frustrated. Love you, sweetie. I love you too. Well, why did you do so? And say, honey, would you just please forgive me? I'm human and I made a mistake. I forgive you. I mean, who's going to fight with that? Who's going to stir that up? You know what, though? Here's what happens. Here's what happens. I told you, and instead of going, baby, I love you, I tell you, here's what you did. And next thing you know, Proverbs 15:1 is carrying it on, boy. A grievous word stirs up anger. In other words, if you want to try to win, you both lose. Tone it down by a soft answer. Got to tone it down. Soft answer. I got to share this with y'all. This was funny. I got to share it. So today, something I've never seen in my life. I've been gloating in it just a little bit here and there because I've never seen it. It's been said to me 1,000 times, but I've never been able to say it to Laura, but I got to say it this evening. But I did it in loving and I laughed. So we've been looking for something today, and she's been looking for something in her car. Now, she always finds everything. She's the one that comes, or I'll go to, hey, baby, where's so? And she says, honey, it's in there in that drawer. I walk in that drawer and say, I can't find it. She'll walk right in there and pull it out, and there it is. Y'all know, how many of y'all know what I'm talking about? She'll go in the closet, there it is. I walk in there, look, can't see it. And I've never been able. Now, the only thing, she says, now, Mark, if you were looking for a deer or a turkey or something, she said, man, you'd find it right off the bat. I said, yep, you're right. But today, are y'all ready? I loved it. She was looking for this thing. I said, did you look in the car? So I said, at the table. I said, well, I'll go out and I'll look in the trunk. So I went and looked in the trunk. It wasn't there. And I looked over there in the passenger side door. She said, I've looked everywhere for it. I looked over the passenger side door. I said, there it is. So I walk in the house. She's sitting there in the house. I said, hey, sweetie, I said, is the collar of that thing you were looking for, that umbrella? I said, was it black? She said, yes. I said, okay. I said, well, there's three of them in the car. Because, see, it was black and white. I wanted to make sure. And I said, well, there was a black and white one in the seat. And she said, Mark, she said, I looked in there. She said, why in the world did I not see that? Whew. I was like, I've never heard that in my life. See, here's what I said to her. I said, baby, I said, Laura, I said, I just want to tell you. I said, the same reason you said that to me 50,000 times. I said, you're human. I can tell y'all don't think it's funny. Isn't marriage fun? Hey, I love it. But here's the thing. If I'd have walked in there and said, hey, you've been looking for the umbrella all day long. It's in there. It's in the car. What was wrong with you? You just wasn't looking? My goodness, she could have done that to me for 50 years because it's right there in plain sight. And she'll have to walk in and say, honey, I told you. She'll walk in there and here it is, babe. Thank you, sweetie. But listen, I want y'all to think about this. How many arguments have we got in and it don't mean a thing, the stuff we've argued about? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Silliest stuff. And you know why? Because we just won't give a soft answer. You can't argue with someone that's looking at you going, honey, I'm sorry. I love you. Please forgive me. See, it's, you try it. Try it. Chris, try it. Janet, try it. I'm picking on y'all tonight because y'all are up close. Hey, try it. I guarantee you it'll work. I promise you it'll work. It'll work every time. Now, it gives a soft answer. Why? Notice the wording in the Bible. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Let's try it. We ought to give soft answers. Here's another one. Look at Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4. Proverbs 15:4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Here it is. Just take the words right there. A wholesome tongue. You got to have a wholesome tongue. Now, what is that? That's healthy. If you're on a wholesome diet, what does that mean? Well, it's healthy. It's beneficial to you. And I've thought about this. How many things have I said that's not been healthy or beneficial? Think about that. We're just talking, or we're talking about things that we shouldn't, things that's not really beneficial. You know, I thought about this. What about encouragement? And my wife's really good at this. You know, some people are just pessimistic by nature. They'll see something, instead of seeing any good at it at all, we always want to see the negative part in it. So we voice it. But you know what's convicting? When you're around people that, yes, they see the same thing you do. They understand the seriousness of it. They're hurting just like you. But for some reason, they can just say something that can help you, beneficial to you. One of the things as I was standing over little Bailey the other day, to be honest, Laura and I was up there when Eric and Kelly got the word. And to be honest with you, you don't have the words. You don't have the words. I mean, you really don't. I mean, some people have this idea that, oh, you're supposed to have all these things to say. Well, we just sat there and cried with them. And because when the doctor called after the surgery, he didn't give them a lot of hope that she'll ever walk again. So as a mama hearing those words, I mean, so you can imagine. And I just thought, didn't have the words. And I said, Lord, help me, give me wisdom. And so we really didn't say a whole lot. But the next night when we went to go see Bailey in the room, there was just one little thing. And this was brought about because of our daughter and her having Turner syndrome. And as a young child, someone told us years ago that she was special. You know, she was special that God allowed. And then I used that same terminology with little Stone one day when we were at the hospital. I just looked at Stone and I said, you know what, you're a special young man. God has chosen you to be able. And so I don't know, so when I went in there and had prayer with Bailey the other day, I didn't really know what to say to her, but I just looked at her and said, you know what, you're special, Bailey. And I looked at her and I said, I know it doesn't feel like you're special, but I says, you know, God's allowed this to happen for a greater reason, and we might not ever know what, but you're going to know. And I said, I want you to think about a year from now. I said, we're going to trust the Lord. We're going to trust the Lord that He's going to bring you back to this day, and you can rejoice and know that God's done something in your life. And listen to me, why don't we try to encourage people instead of give wholesome words, encouraging words instead of some pessimistic word. Wholesome, healthy, encouraging. I've said this before. Nobody needs help getting discouraged. Nobody. But everybody needs help being encouraged. What does it mean to encourage somebody? Well, it's in the Word. You put courage in them. You put courage. We received texts this week. And by the way, I appreciate the text. But you know what? I think about all the precious families that are being affected by what's going on. My heart's broken for the Collinses. My heart's broken for the Burgesses and the Rorexes. And I'm just thankful that we have an opportunity to try to be a part of their life. But I even thought, I received some texts this week. I received a couple of calls this week. And I said, you know what? They didn't have to do that. But what did they do? I'm going to tell you what they did. They put courage in me. They encouraged me. And we ought to have wholesome words. So I want you and I and all of us to be an encourager. Wholesome words. Healthy, beneficial words. Has a wholesome tongue. Notice this. Here, let's go to chapter 16, verse 24. We're going through them here now. 16, verse 24. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Now, how many of y'all like honey? Y'all like honey? I love honey. But here it is. When you think about honey, what is sweet? Sweet to the taste. Here it is. We ought to speak pleasant words. Look at the wording there in chapter 16, verse 24. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health in the bones. It's out of the abundance of the heart. What does God say about how we talk? Someone say, I just tell you right now, Pastor Mark, I just run my mouth. Well, wait a minute. Before we just run our mouth, whatever we're running our mouth about, that's what's in here. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the what? The mouth speaks. So if we're sweet and we're trying to be pleasant, then it's going to come out of our mouth. So out of the abundance of the heart, we speak. So when we talk about pleasant words, what would that be? That would be cheerful words. Pleasant, sweet. Look at the verse there. We see it deals with pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul. It's not just sweet to the taste. It's sweet to the soul. I mean, it sweetens us here in the innermost part of our being. Cheerful. Cheerful words. Being thankful, grateful. Think about that. You're talking about sweet words, grateful, thankful. I was watching a thing just before I came here earlier tonight, and I was watching where this, there was a family there in a diner, and this military man walked in. He had his uniform on. Well, we went over to sit down. He went over, and the lady said, well, it's free. Your coffee's free. And she said, thank you. Well, there was this older gentleman sitting at the counter, and the young man that was in the Army turned around and seen this older man, and he had a Vietnam veteran on his arm, and he knew he was a Vietnam vet. Well, that older man seen that the young man, the guy in the Army right now, got his coffee free, so he kind of put his head down. He was a little discouraged. Well, then the man kept drinking his coffee. Well, the young man that was still in the Army, he walked in over and sat on a booth. Well, there was a man, a woman, and her son over there, and she said, hey, you're a hero. Can my son take a picture with you? And the little boy got over there beside the guy. Well, the guy that's drinking a cup of coffee that's a Vietnam veteran, he's looking over there, and he looks at his arm, and he sees his thing, and you can tell he's getting discouraged. About that time, out of the blue, that little boy and his mother walks up to him without him knowing, and she pecks him on the shoulder. She said, hey, sir. He looked up, and she said, the little boy looked at him and said, you're a hero too. And he says, well, I did the best I could for our country. And he said, well, can I get a picture with you too? He said, that man over there told me you were a hero too. Can I get a picture? And he looked and seen that guy was just drinking his coffee, the guy in the Army. And that little boy just looked at him. He said, I just want to thank you. And then he walked out the door. And that Vietnam veteran, man, you could just tell he started drinking his coffee with a little bit more encouragement. And he felt like he had a shot in the arm. Why? Because somebody was grateful to him. Grateful words. You know, I want to tell you something. We ought to teach our young people to learn how to say thank you. Be polite and grateful. That's pleasant words, because you don't hear that much. Well, you tell them, and by the way, you got to help them. Not every child, none of us are. We're all selfish by nature. So we have to teach them as they get older, but that has to be trained. And so we ought to have pleasant words. We ought to have grateful. We ought to have an attitude of gratitude, and that ought to come out of our hearts. The Bible says pleasant words. They're like honey to the soul. And I don't know about y'all. Miss Hilga, again, I know Jesus is the answer to all of them, because when Jesus gets in somebody's heart, they're going to be pleasant. Miss Hilga was the one who said, Pastor, we just need to pray the people. We just need to pray for the hatred in our country. And I agree. But I'll tell you right now, there ought not be anybody more pleasant than Christians. And we ought to ask God to help us. And pleasant words. So I didn't get through very many of them tonight, but we'll just keep going. That's the great thing about the Bible. You'll never out-preach it, amen? Speaks pleasant words. And then I'll just tell you this, give you a little bit of taste of what we'll be looking at. We'll be looking in chapter 17 next Wednesday, verse 22. And here's something we don't talk a lot about, but has a merry heart. How many of y'all know a grouch? Y'all know a grouch? I can't be around grouches too long. You say, why, Pastor? I'm going to tell you why. Y'all ready? Because I become one. And listen to me, so will you. A grouch. You got to have a merry heart. And we'll talk about that next week. Amen. How many of you glad God's still working on you? He is, isn't he? Hello? Somebody knocking on the door, sound like. Miss Kyla told me this to close. And I'm probably not getting it exactly right, but it floored me. You know, James Dobson, I know I've said this before, James Dobson, you know, he's been in family, focus for the family for years, dealt with all kinds of things. And someone asked him, was it him? Asked him, you know, if there's a young couple getting married, what would be your first bit of advice, your most important advice to them? And he said, without fail, without even having to think about it, he said, if your parents are Christians, the two looking to get married, they better listen to their parents. Now, I want you to think about it. Why would someone say that? And by the way, I would say this. I pick about Josh. I had perfect peace when Kaylee married Josh. Perfect peace. You say, why? Because I watched him. I paid attention. I asked questions. And I felt it was my right to do so because that's my daughter. And I wanted to have peace about it. But here's what I appreciate about Kaylee. She said to him, not long into the courtship, she said, Josh, I just want you to know something. She said, if my parents disapprove of you, she said, we will no longer date. Now that puts a lot of responsibility on the parents, but that better be why the parents have the right motive. By the way, I didn't want Kaylee to be single the rest of her life. But I certainly wanted to have wisdom and have peace that she married the right kind of person. And I think all of us ought to have that desire. And God ought to give us wisdom. And we ought to be able to, where are we going to get this wisdom? We're going to get it right here. And God will give us peace. And if we don't have peace, we better be kind about it. We better be right about it and loving with our children. But we've got to share with them. And we ought to try to live the kind of life with our children that they'll listen to us. And so I believe that bit of advice is so important. So I'm saying this to all of you parents. Not only should you be this kind of spouse, you might have to help your children one day when they go to choose, the second most important decision in their life, who they'll marry. And I pray that God will give all of us wisdom, and I pray that God will keep working on us. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. How many of you know maybe one of them things hits you a little bit tonight? You don't have to raise your hand, but I think all of them hit me. Amen. Man, I need to accept godly counsel. I want to have the right companions. I want to control my temper. I want to be able to give soft answers. I want to have a wholesome tongue. I want to speak pleasant words. I think these are all godly things to strive for, don't you? Let's ask God to help us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. I pray that you'll take your word. Lord, these are just principles. One verse out of each chapter. But Lord, what powerful they are as we just emphasize them. I pray you'll help us to work on these things in our life. And we'll thank you for what you do. For we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And all God's people say it. Amen. Don't forget about the funeral tomorrow and all of the marriage retreat, folks. Remember, 6:30 at Sun Outdoors. We're going to have a great weekend. God bless.